Indiana's Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
To you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are talking about the city of Murfreesboro, focusing on this great city. And if you have a question dealing with Murfreesboro, this is your opportunity to talk one-on-one with our mayor, Shane McFarland. And he's here staying warm this morning, all bundled up. Shane, good morning to you.
Hey, Bart. 21 degrees outside, That is a cold morning.
That gets your attention the minute you step out.
Absolutely.
has that weather caused any problems with the city?
You know, no, not so far. It looks like it's going to get up into the 40s today and start a little bit of a heating trend, I guess. So, no, our street department, which is supervised by Raymond Hillis, they're more than prepared and ready for any weather that could hit the city.
They do a great job.
Yeah,
they really do.
You know, at any department, I don't say any department, they're all of our departments are great, but I mean, you can, a lot of these shows that we have, we may get a complaint on a pothole in the morning, and, you know, they've got crews out there that fix it either that same day or the next day. So I'm really proud of that group, proud of all of our employees.
And this time of year, that's when you have those potholes show up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially after, after we have bad weather. I watch one of my favorite shows, you know, I watch is The Office. I don't know if you've ever watched The Office.
Mm-hmm. I have at night.
Yeah, every time I think of, the beet juice brine that they put down, I think of Dwight Schrute on The Office, you know, so we're fully prepared.
The city of Murfreesboro ready for you. Our phone number, if you have a question this morning, 615-893-1450. You can also text on that same number, 615-893-1450. We have not had an update on what's happening downtown, the renovation and the changes where the First Methodist Church used to be. How is that going?
Yeah, things are going great. They were approved through the IDB for the TIF financing, and that's something, Bart, I really would like to talk about.
Sure.
It was pretty funny. I did a fireside chat the other night on Facebook Live, and I've had 6,000 or 7,000 people who've watched that. One of the things we talked about was the downtown development. You know, one of the news organizations reported that, you know, we gave a $6 million tax incentive, or the IDB did, and not really the case. When that happened, that organization does not get a $6 million check. You know, what we researched, and I talked about this, that a lot of times, you know, you can't get all the information you need in, you know, a Facebook post or a tweet. And one of the things I really hope that, you know, our elected officials are more educated on decisions that need to be made than the normal person. I mean, that's why I think we want to elect good people that study the issues. In this case, on the downtown development, we studied being able to build another parking garage or adding two floors on the parking garage, the county parking garage. That was going to be about $8 million. And so the way that we structured this deal with the new development, the developer, they're going to build a parking garage in the center of their project. It's going to have about 540 parking spots. They're paying for that. Now, they're going to get an incentive to build that, and then over the course of the next 10 years, they get an incentive back for building that. But the great thing is, if we were to go and build the parking garage, you know, we have to borrow money to do that. The taxpayer has to pay for that. In this case, the taxpayer is not liable or responsible for building that. We don't borrow money to do it. We don't do any of that. So we're going to be able to reap the benefits of what they do there, not to mention that just the annual hotel and sales tax that's going to come in is, you know, almost $1 million. And that's $1 million that we weren't getting off of that property right now. So, you know, I think we're setting the future councils, we're setting, you know, the future leaders in Rutherford County with the benefit that, you know, 10 years from now, they're going to have a $70 million development that's downtown that they're going to be drawing property taxes on. And that, you know, I'm proud that's a decision that we made, you know, and the council made.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mayor Shane McFarland. How are you today?
Great.
Good.
I'm going to ask the question. Over here on Bradable Pike, there's an apartment complex over, I think the name of it, Silver Trace. It's right down from where the lake with the fountains in it. I just noticed this weekend they changed from apartments to townhomes. They've had a gravel parking lot up there with mud holes in it ever since I've been here for 20 years. I just wonder if they went through the city to be able to do that. And why shouldn't they have to pave their parking lot like all the other apartment complexes in Murfreesboro? And also these tire stores, used tire stores, selling tires that other people have thrown away. They're very unsafe. Are they allowed to stack them things outside everywhere like they do by codes? Especially the one over on Bridge Avenue. It looks like a third world country over there. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, we do have ordinances in place for the tire company, so I'm typing this in now. And then the answer on the Silver Oak or Silver Tree apartment on Bradyville, I am not sure about that, but I will find out.
Thank you for calling. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 615-893-1450. And what about the area that's all around the Springs, Murfree Springs wetland? What is the name of that?
Town Creek?
The Town Creek, but the project is being known as the Bottoms.
Bottoms. Yes. Yeah, we've had several discussions. We really haven't been able to nail anyone, you know, completely down to redevelop. You know, we did have the Barrett family was looking at one point on building something there, and then that didn't happen. We are looking at renovating South Front Street to be able to straighten that curve up right there where it turns into Vine Street where the city is. So there's several different things that we're working on, but we don't have anything that's nailed down, you know, as of yet. I do think that there's going to have to be some, I don't want this to sound insensitive, Bart, but, you know, we work with the Hark, with Bill Krause, with Scott Foster, great partners with the city. I do think that we're going to have to be able to work through that whole area. You've got Palmer Produce, and you've got some of the areas that down there are vacant. And Cannonsburg, we constantly get complaints on people feeling unsafe in those areas just because of the transient nature of some of the people who are coming in and out of there, and that's something our police have really cracked down on. But, you know, we've got a really overriding goal of being able not only to work with Journey Home and the homeless population that's in that area, but, you know, I think we really need to do everything we can in that overall Bottoms area to be able to bring up the entire area. And, you know, that stretches over to Bridge Avenue. That stretches over to Kings Highway, where we just recently repaved that area right in front of the Experience Church and going to Quality Furniture. So we've got that whole area that we want to continue to work on. And Bart, that's the tough part. We talk about new stuff all the time. We talk about new things that are being built. But we can't forget our older neighborhoods, and that's something that we're going to stay committed to.
So it's basically the developers haven't stepped forward yet.
Yeah, we've got everything in place, but it's like anything on a new project. The first person to go in is always the hardest. That's the hardest to get, and you know we'll continue to work on it.
So if you really want to see some development in the historic Bottoms, which is basically from the Discovery Center all the way over to Cannonsburg, that general area there, where they're opening Town Creek and all of that and putting in restaurants and things of this sort, developing the area, around the Murphy Spring wetlands. If you want to see that, if you feel like there's a need for that, you need to step forward and say, I want to be a part of that.
That's correct.
So who do they contact?
Yeah, contact City Hall, 615-849-2629. Ask for Gary Whitaker. That's who you'd want to talk with.
We have a text here. This person says, why are the apartments not being finished behind Zaxby's on 231 South? Apartment complex must be under construction behind Zaxby's on the Shelbyville Highway.
I don't know. I can find out.
Okay. You got friends out there who are with the city checking, and we'll have an answer on that momentarily. If you have a question for the mayor, you can talk or text, as you heard that last text one.
Well, and I remember that apartment complex. I voted against that. I didn't feel like that was a good area to put an apartment complex that originally had to be rezoned from, I think it was office, but I don't know the answer to that, but I will find out.
All righty. And we will, if
you had to throw that in there, Bart.
Yeah. If you don't find out today, let us know and we'll pass it on to folks. The number again, 615-893-1450. And, we have a question here from a listener who's been following what's happening over at the Barfield Park area, where they're looking for the young man who has been missing for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say they are really proud of our first responders for all that they do in the community. So I know you are, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm biased because I work with these individuals every single day, and I get to see a lot of the things that, you know, not many people get to see, and we just have a phenomenal emergency service team. I mean, all of our police officers, sheriff's officers, firefighters, county firefighters, ambulance drivers, paramedics, EMS team, I mean, they are all second to none.
Here's a text from a listener who's saying, with the vacant buildings that you mentioned over in the area around the Bottoms, with the cold nights and vacant buildings not being used, isn't there some way to allow the homeless to stay inside those buildings and not die out in the cold?
You've got Coldest Nights is in place. You've got several different groups that are working on that. So, I mean, those vacant buildings are not owned by the city, so that's not something that we can really go in and mandate. And the issue is, you know, there's an article in the paper that about the room at the end that, you know, acquired a piece of property out on behind the DMV that they were renovating. But, you know, when you put a lot of people in a building, there's certain codes you've got to go by. For instance, it needs to be sprinkled. I mean, if there's a fire, people need to be protected. And a lot of these buildings don't have that. And there's really more to it than just opening up a building and saying, hey, you know, people can sleep there. There's some things from a city standpoint. There's some things that, you know, we are liable for that we have to make sure are followed correctly.
Very good. Will the room at the inn be opening anytime soon?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think they're looking for some funding to be able to make some of the I'm reading this by the article. So from what, you know, everyone else read at the same time, it sounds like that they're having some funding issues.
Very good. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Listener is asking about expanded service for Rover. We've heard that question before.
We're doing a pilot program for Saturdays now. That's getting ready to start. So that's something that the residents had asked for, and that's something that a pilot program is getting ready to start. We voted on Thursday night. I'm proud, you know, to be of the council for this decision, but we had staff that wanted to come up and do a trial program to allow our veterans to ride for free for the months of November and December. And, you know, we as a council said, well, I mean, it's going to cost the city $12,000 a year estimated. It may not even cost that much if we did it year round. And we all looked at each other to go, why do we have to try a pilot program to let our veterans be able to get to the VA hospital? And I mean, for some of the services that they've provided us. And, you know, we had, I don't get on social media much anymore, but, you know, we had someone question that. And if the worst thing that you have to do is question why the city would want to allow our veterans to be able to ride for free, then I would say there's more things important to worry about in this city. And I'm, I'm proud of that decision and proud of what our veterans have done for our community. I mean, if it weren't for the veterans, you and I probably wouldn't be sitting here having this discussion.
You're right. And we are so fortunate to have the Alvin C. York VA Medical Center here. I mean, this does so much good for this community and has for decades.
I completely agree.
We're talking this morning about the city of Murfreesboro. If you have a question about the city, we're focusing on Murfreesboro, so keep it in that area. Just give us a call or text us, 615-893-1450. We're moving into an election year. 2020 will be an election year. And any thoughts on that, any plans for that, for the city? I know the county's election commission is going to be very busy, but whether we're in the looking at a city function or a county function, the city's a part of it.
Yeah, we have, you know, we changed our election, 8 years ago, I guess?
Where we can vote anywhere, anytime.
Well, you know, the city elections were historically held in April on off years, and now our city elections are, I think it was 4 years ago. Last election was the first election we had that was with the general. So, you know, the city will have an election this next year as well. And I think it will be with a primary, and that's in August before the November election. But we've got three really good council members who I haven't heard, but I assume are going to run again. So, Bart, I've worked. It's hard to believe that I'm the eldest member of the council now going on. Golly, going back to planning commission, it's almost been 17 years. But we've got a really thoughtful council now. We don't always agree, but we've got a good council now who really wants to go through and it's like anything, you know, a lot of decisions sometimes get punted, and this council has had a lot of decisions that have been punted down to them to where, you know, we had to make some really tough decisions, and I've been proud of this council that they've been willing to make those.
And that's always a difficult thing because there are a lot of people for things and a lot of people against them. Any way you go, you're going to make friends and enemies.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the easiest time running for an election is as a running when you've never served before because no one knows the decisions you've made in the past. The elections after you've been a re-election is much different because, you know, you're going to make half the population mad half the time. And I do think looking at the decisions the council has, you know, had to make, there's been some really tough ones that, you know, the easy thing for a political official is to punt things down the line, you know, like solid waste. It'd be easy for us just not to do anything on solid waste. It'd be easy for us not to look at road construction or, you know, talking about consolidation of electrical systems. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could easily just say, yeah, that's too controversial. We're going to punt that. And, you know, most of the council members know I'm not afraid and have never felt like that it's our job to not discuss things. Now, sometimes that's uncomfortable because we have to talk about change. You know, I've said this. I think if you ask 10 out of 10 people, let me rephrase that, Bart. I don't think you ever get 100% agreeance on many things. But, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to discuss in the future is we're talking about the consolidation of electrical systems now. But I'm telling you from a mayor standpoint, we cannot afford to build in the next 2 years another $40 million school. I mean, this last school, we spent roughly $35 million plus site work plus land. So then plus furniture, fixtures and equipment plus computers. I mean, you're really looking at a number, and I'm guessing, but you're probably looking at a number that's the mid $40 million range. This past budget, we added almost $6 million to our general fund budget in just for the schools, $4.9 million. We can't do that in 2 years, and so the discussion is going to have to be how we partner with the county and how we do things more efficient. And, you know, Murfreesboro residents are county taxpayers, and, you know, that's one thing I can say. Mayor Ketron has been great to work with on out of the box ideas that, you know, we can work with the county. I mean, we're building. I know people will be excited to hear about this. You know, we gave or allow the county to take land on the corner of Blaze and Fortress Drive to build a new clerk's office, and also working with the state to build a new DMV center. That, you know, there's been some recent articles on, I've got two 15-year-olds, and good Lord, the amount of time that they waited to get a learner's permit, that's got to be fixed. And so Mayor Ketron saw that, you know, I saw that, worked with our staff and our council, and we're partnering with them to be able to build something on the west side of town and co-locating our emergency service dispatch. We built, you know, a $50 million police headquarters. There's no reason. I was sitting with the, I guess it'd be the ex EMS director, and, you know, I did not mean to be flippant about this, but, you know, they said, well, you know, we want to build a $30 million communication center. And I said, well, why in the world would we build the county build a $30 million communication center that the city would be responsible for half of it when we've got one just down the street? Mayor Ketron was like, absolutely. So we struck a deal where the county is moving in to the dispatch where the Murfreesboro Fire Department or Police Department is, and that saves county residents, taxpayers, which is the city of Murfreesboro. So I think those are going to be the discussions we're going to have moving forward.
Now, going back to the school issue, you said we cannot afford another school like that in the next couple of years. What happens if we have this continued growth and we have to have a school? How can the city and county work together on elementary schools, because they're not in the same, it's Rutherford County Schools and
sure.
Murfreesboro City Schools.
Well, I mean, I think that brings up another discussion. You know, we've had the discussion. We had asked some really tough questions at our last budget when we went through with the schools. You know, we educate K through 6. The county educates K through 12. And, you know, I think 50 years ago, you know, discussions on two school systems. But I think how we do that, Bart, it makes no sense, I think, from a resident standpoint and from a political standpoint. Why should we build a $40 million elementary school and then right down the road, the county build a $60 or $70 million facility? That just makes no sense. I mean, it's double dipping that two different municipality and a county are paying for those things. So I think what we end up doing as a city is we look and say, if we're going to have to build X number of schools, how do we partner with the county where we help, you know, we help with that, but you don't have two facilities that you've got, you know, a couple miles down the road from each other. And those are the discussions I think we have to be, you know, honest to be able to have those. And the problem, Bart, and it's one of the things that we're talking about with, you know, the electric department right now, you start getting into, I think the worst thing that someone can say is, well, we've always done it that way. And I'm not, you know, that's a bad answer. You know, I don't, if I have to go to the doctor right now, I don't want the doctor to say, well, this is the way we did it 20 years ago, the way we've always done it. I want the doctor to say, hey, here's the newest and latest technologies that we use to be able to do things. I mean, I don't want to go in an operating room that's still set up the way it was 20 years ago. I want one that's current. And that's the decision I think we have to make as a council, that we cannot get bogged down in turf. We can't get bogged down in, well, that's change. I mean, we have to be able to make what's the best decisions moving forward. And you know, ultimately, I think we've had good elected officials, but I don't want to leave a decision that we can make now and push that off 15 years from now and the council 15 years from now saying, why didn't the council make that decision 15 years ago? And I think that's one of the things that we'll stay committed to.
Now, it almost sounds as if when you're talking about getting together and we're talking about school buildings, it sounds almost like a unifying of the two school systems.
That may be a discussion one of these days. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs about that. I think if you ask a lot of the residents why we have two school systems, a lot of them will say, I really don't know. But, I mean, the great thing that we get to talk about, though, is we've got two great school systems. The city of Murfreesboro has a good school system. The county is a great school system. Both are great. So, you know, I think those are the discussions we really need to have. Now, here's the problem, Bart. And, I mean, I'm saying this. The political answer for me would be great just not to even talk about any of this, you know, because people get mad on either whether they're for it or against it. But we need to be able to have those discussions. If it's something that doesn't work, then, you know, it it's something that doesn't work. But, I mean, moving forward, I know the way that we've handled things, you know, over the last 10 or 15 years financially, I mean, no one enjoyed voting on a tax increase. That had not had a tax increase in over 20 years. And, you know, I'm going to look at everything that we possibly can to not have to do that again. But at the same time, we need to build roads. I mean, our number one complaint that we get as a city is that we don't, our transportation is not good. So we've got to be able to build roads. We've got to be able to build infrastructure at the same time, you know, keeping Murfreesboro a good place to live, an affordable place to live.
Here's a text from a listener who says, Franklin has school impact fees for developers. Why can't we?
Yeah, I'm very well aware of that. I mean, in my other life that I have, when I pull a permit in Williamson County, the school tax is $11,308 per single family unit. That's over 3,000 square feet, which is basically any house in Williamson County. There's a lot of legalities that go into that. The city council right now is studying doing an impact fee. There's a very defined legal process that you have to go through to be able to implement an impact fee. I mean, we're one of the only municipalities around that does not have an impact fee. And I think that's something that the council has made clear that that needs to be studied, and that's what staff is working on. The county is in a much different situation because the county has a development tax, and because of state statute on how it was set up, that it's really tough for them to be able to raise that. And so, you know, that they're really locked into where they are. And it really goes on another way you look at it. I'm not saying that the impact fees are not something that needs to be implemented or that we have to look at. But you have to find a more sustainable way than just relying on an impact fee, because when the economy's good, you're getting a lot of money brought in. But when the economy goes down, it's that same reverse. You don't have the money coming in. So we've got to be able to find a better way to finance that.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We have quite a few text messages that are coming in quite rapidly all of a sudden. We're going to check on the traffic and weather.
Nothing like talking about some controversial stuff to get people stirred up.
We got the phone lines coming in. We'll be right back and take some of those calls and look at the texts.
As the Christmas season is approaching, there are many parties out there and last-minute gifts, and Demas is here to be able to help you along with all those things. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things that we have to offer is obviously our gift cards, and the gift cards come in any denomination. We have our seasonings that makes a perfect gift. We have Demas's classic t-shirts. Demas's also now has catering to be able to serve you and to be able to take care of you. Any of this information is available online, www.demasrestaurants.com.
Most men think that ED is an embarrassing issue. ED is really a medical issue and should be treated as such. ED is also a gift. Most people don't get an early warning sign of a heart attack or silently worsening diabetes. For men, ED is often a visual symptom of other underlying medical problems. If you have ED, take the medical approach to treatment. Call the Billups Center today and schedule your appointment. We take health insurance and offer comprehensive care.
The Billups Center, medicine that matters to men. Online at thebillupscenter.com.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume out here, but it's been moving fairly decent as you head towards Nashville on 24 going west here up by Walden Road. A lot of traffic, obviously, here on 840 and 96 headed to Franklin, over towards Williamson County. Traffic still very busy out here on Sam Ridley trying to get down to the interstate. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Winds out of the southwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 26. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 19.
Hi, I'm Shelly Rigsby, and I'm the new branch manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. There are great things happening at First National Bank on Mercury Boulevard. We understand each of our customers want confidential banking with convenience, and our goal is to make banking easy with a great customer experience. Let First National Bank be your first choice. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Welcome back. We can almost do rapid fire questions with all of these texts that we're getting in. Let's grab a phone call, though. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mayor Shane McFarland. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Doing great.
I was just listening to your show there this morning, and I was going to ask about this right here. I don't know if it'll work or not, but on the schools, it seems like every time that we need money for something, they'll bring up schools, and it started back in with the wheels tax sticker on the cars years and years ago. But I was just wondering, I mentioned it several times about going to the younger ones go in the morning and the older ones go in the afternoon, the older kids. But now I thought a little bit more about it, and that they got the technology to do it, is why we want to keep building all these schools, and we could let the younger students, like from kindergarten through eighth grade, go to school, and then have it for the high school students. They have it online at home, where the teacher is at her home, has a big screen, and she can see the students. The students can see their teacher by the technology that they got.
Let's see what he says on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, you know, who would have thought 15 years, 20 years ago? I mean, there's a lot of college classes now that you get online. MBAs can now be obtained by not even stepping foot on a campus. So from a campus standpoint, that's great because you don't have to provide the facilities. I don't know what the future is going to hold as far as scheduling, or I don't know what the future is going to hold as you go through with, you know, your older students, maybe seniors who are doing online internships and those things. But I definitely think you just look globally at what's happening. The education structure is changing, and you know, I feel confident between, you know, our city schools led by Dr. Gilbert, and then the county schools by Superintendent Spurlock, that I mean, you know, we don't really get a vote from either the county commission or the council. You know, we just provide facilities. We don't provide educational policy or procedures, so that goes through the school board. But I feel confident with both school boards that we have that they'll be looking for creative ways to the main thing is we have to do whatever's in the best benefit of our students, and that, you know, I think that's where you start looking at these different things. To first question is what's best for the kids.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Good point there. We have another question.
Hey, I would like to go on record, Bart, sure, that I know that's Jackie who's called several times. Jackie called and did not ask a question about red lights.
Okay.
So that's Jackie, thank you for calling. That was a great question.
We have a text question dealing with traffic, and they say the traffic is already horrendous over on Memorial Boulevard near the VA, and they see a massive construction going on behind Aldi's. What is that?
Well, you've got on Memorial, I'm not sure, and I live in that area. I think that may be another commercial development, and I also think that may be an apartment complex, which is something the council has really been working hard on trying to work through. But I think you're going to end up seeing, working with TDOT, I think you're going to end up seeing 231 widen all the way back to Cherry Lane. One of the things we desperately have got to do, and this is, you know, there's roughly 21 or 22,000 traffics a day on Thompson Lane. That's an F-rated road that at some point we're working through with the state to widen. You've got Broad Street that's an F-rated road. Cherry Lane needs to be built, the new interchange off of 840, because what that ends up doing, that keeps people off of Thompson Lane. It keeps people off of Memorial who need to get to 840 or need to get, you know, to the Medical Center Parkway area. They can do that all by staying on the interstate. And that's something we desperately have got to work on and get funded to move through.
Is that the easiest one to go for first, rather than expanding Thompson Lane? Because doesn't the city own of the land?
Well, Cherry Lane would be a city project, and a city project can clearly be built quicker than a state project can. But Thompson Lane is on the queue to be able. I think they're in right-of-way acquisition right now. So, I mean, I would say, you know, in the next 5 years to 10 years, you'll see Thompson Lane widen. But that is going to be a very painful project. You've got several bridges that have to be constructed. You've got the battlefield. I mean, you've got that's going to be a tough project.
We have two opposing views almost on this one. One person says more taxes, no matter what you're building or doing, more taxes is not the answer.
I agree.
And then another person says, even if we have half the impact fees that Williamson County charges, we could make our infrastructure sufficient to handle the ridiculous growth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't no one wants more taxes. I wish the one thing I wish the council, and I'm when I say the councils, I mean, I've been on the council. I think it's much better to look at a long-term plan as opposed to having, you know, in hindsight, I wish that we would have looked, knowing no one knew the growth that we were going to have, but I wish we would have looked 15 years ago or 16 years ago when I was on council and said, you know, it makes more sense to have very, very small increases as opposed to having, you know, every 4 years look at the reappraisal. And not a lot of people understand how their property tax is figured, but, you know, when the values go up, we have to drop our rate. So from the time I started on council, our tax rate was $2.45 per thousand, and it went down to 94 cents. And what would have made more sense as a council is when those valuations went up, that we would have made adjustments at that time, as opposed to just doing it in one big bite.
Okay, a person says that with all of this traffic we're having, why do we keep building more apartments?
I don't disagree. I think that's something the council, and if you'll really look at what we've been discussing, you know, now we're talking about sewer capacity. Here's the issue, Bart. A lot of these, you know, multifamily properties were zoned 25, 30 years ago. And, you know, once you have a land use on a piece of property, I mean, you can't take it away. So I think that's why the council, especially over the last 2 or 3 years, we've been very deliberate on making sure that, you know, we're looking at these uses. At the same point, though, you know, not all apartments are bad. I mean, I was talking with a gentleman last night who has a project that's out on the Medical Center Parkway. They're about 30% leased out, you know, and still under construction. But, Bart, the rent, it's $1,500 a month to live in those apartments. And he was telling me that you have a lot of people who work in southern Nashville or Laverne that, you know, want to live in an area where there's stuff around them. So they live in those apartments because, you know, they don't want to maintain any things. They want to be able to walk to restaurants. So, you know, I think we have to be careful in saying that apartments are bad. I wish in hindsight that we look to put multifamily where it's already dense. In other words, where there's already a lot of stuff. Like, I think it makes sense having multifamily in the Avenue area. In hindsight, I wish we would have done differently on in the Blackman. You know, I voted a bunch against several of the projects in the Blackman area, and then also out on Highway 99. I think that, you know, that we don't need to do super dense apartment complexes in areas where we don't have the infrastructure.
Let's jump to the other side of town now. This one says, what is the status for a sidewalk on Bradyville Pike? It seems like other sidewalks are in the plan, but nothing for this area. This is where a young girl was killed many years ago, and there was a promise of sidewalks and lights on the streets then. We still don't have them.
Well, the city's working through that. Not many people really realize that Bradyville Pike is a state road. That's not a city road. So we're working through with the state to be able to get that road widened, which would in turn mean, you know, curb and gutter sidewalks. I mean, you couldn't go there right now and put sidewalks because there's no curb and gutter or drainage system that's in that area. So that's something that we've continued to work on and will with the state.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to check on the weather. You know what it is without us checking.
It's cold.
Yeah, it is cold. We will be back and take more of your calls.
Consumer questions, money concerns, and more right here.
Consumer Warrior Clark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Here at Animal City, we can help you enjoy the therapeutic effects of your beautiful aquarium, whether at the home or at your office. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Here at Animal City, we have everything that you need to spruce up your old tank or set up a beautiful new one. We have the supplies and expertise to help you be successful whether you want to do freshwater or saltwater. Come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Technology for your home's heating and air system, the Daikin Fit from Precision Air. It's quiet, takes up less space, and uses less power. Chances are, even if you had a unit installed in the last few years, you can still save money by switching to the Daikin Fit. Precision Air. Online at precisionairtn.com.
In 1962, our family set out to make homes and businesses colorfully beautiful. Since then, Hoover Paint Store has been making houses look like homes through color. I'm Tim Bowling, and our family makes color easy. We keep a file under your name and year of the color for each room. If you need to touch up or repaint a room, Hoover Paint Store creates the perfect match. Hoover Paint Store in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Shelbyville, Cool Springs, Green Hills, and Cookeville.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-40s. Winds out of the southwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 26. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 19.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
Have you been getting most of your money advice from your brother-in-law? Maybe you need Dave Ramsey.
The Dave Ramsey Show, 1 to 4 on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning, and we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. A listener said they have been working with Murfreesboro Electric Department now for about 6 months. They love it. And they're starting to get a little worried about how secure is their job, and has there been any thought about when will this consolidation happen? How close are we?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to discuss it today at our workshop. First, I'd say all the employees at Murfreesboro Electric, all good employees, but, you know, that's one of the first things the council asked, that if there was a merger, all the employees' jobs would be safe. In most cases, some of the things that we've seen, the employees at Middle Tennessee Electric make more, benefits are better. So, you know, that's one of the things we've been consistent about. We're going to talk about it. And, you know, the part, Bart, that I've been fortunate over the last two or three days, I've been able to talk to most every mayor that's in the state as far as a municipal mayors that you know have power companies, and most of them were not really aware of what's going on. This is the part I don't like. Local decisions should be made at local levels, and when you start getting organizations outside that clearly have a vested interest in why that they wouldn't want something to happen, and it all again goes back to turf and power. That's where I start getting very concerned that decisions in Murfreesboro can't be made because outside influences are trying to they're trying to get involved in things that really are not related. You know, all due respect, I think Gallatin's a great city, but you know, the general manager in Gallatin has absolutely no reason to have a concern what happens in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The challenges that Gallatin has is much different than what the challenges of Murfreesboro have. And when that starts happening, that's very concerning, that you start looking to go, okay, what are the ulterior motives that someone would not want the city of Murfreesboro to even discuss this? And there are reasons. It doesn't take much to be able to look at that. And that's the part that's been concerning. I mean, most of the larger municipalities I've talked to have all said, look, we don't care what y'all do. You know, in the same way, we wouldn't want you involved in decisions that we have to make in our municipality. But, you know, what we are seeing, some of the smaller municipalities, they don't like these mergers to take place because it may be something that, that their municipalities look with them, and that's something that we have to look at. I've made it no secret. I served on the power board for a couple of years, and I think the members on the power board were phenomenal. But the power industry is a very, very political industry. And, you know, all that we want to be able to do is make a decision in what's best for the city of Murfreesboro. I mean, what I would tell you, Bart, we need to build roads. And I still am under the impression that the majority of residents in Murfreesboro could care less where their electric bill comes from, as long as when they flip the switch, the lights come on, as long as they're paying a fair rate. And, you know, Middle Tennessee Electric has been based in this community for 90 years. A lot of our areas that are being serviced by Middle Tennessee Electric, especially moving forward, where all of our growth areas, they're going to serve those. So I think what we have to be able to do, and I'm not saying whether I'm for or against this, I'm just saying you got to have the discussion. And, you know, when you start having outside organizations that start getting involved in city discussions, it's almost like one of the reasons I think that you end up having the issues that you have in the federal government right now, because you end up having lobbyists that clearly have outside motivations because of turf. And we've not had to deal with that except for this issue. And that's something that, you know, I'm going to stay committed that we need to do what's best for the residents of Murfreesboro. And that's what we're going to discuss.
Now, the city of Murfreesboro has done a very in-depth evaluation of what the value of Murfreesboro Electric is. Now that both sides obviously know what the value has been set at, is everybody comfortable with that?
Well, we've got to discuss that. I mean, you know, when this came up, this came up again about a year and a half ago, and I told staff, look, I'm not getting involved with this. I'm not going to, you know, as a new mayor 4 or 5 years ago, there are things I wish that I would have done different. You know, as a mayor, you spend your whole first year answering questions where maybe someone didn't get the answer that they wanted from the prior administration. And, you know, I wish, being young and in some instances inexperienced, I wish that I would have handled things differently. So that's why I told staff this time, if you feel like that this is a good thing for the city of Murfreesboro to look at, then you do the research, and you bring that back to the council just like you would any type of other thing that would come up. And, you know, that's why I've stayed out of it. Now, I will tell you, over the last 2 weeks, I've gotten more involved with it because of these outside groups that are pulling on council members and pulling on, you know, going through different political process. And there's nothing right about that. I mean, you know, the decision that needs to be made on what's in the best interest of our community. Here's the great thing. Just like we're talking about our school systems, we've got two great school systems. We have two great power companies. Middle Tennessee Electric, founded in Murfreesboro. They've been here almost 90 years. So we're not talking about, you know, an outside group coming in. I mean, we're talking about our neighbors. We're talking about people who are vested in this community. So that's the thing that we have to look at. I mean, if you told me today that we could use funds from a sale to build roads and things that we can't build right now without raising taxes, that's very intriguing to me. I mean, otherwise, with the growth that we have coming in, and I'm, you know, growth doesn't pay. Commercial growth does pay for itself, and so does retail growth, but rooftops don't. We got to find a way to pay for all of it.
We have about 30 seconds left. Big workshop today.
Yeah.
At the Murfreesboro Police Department, council members working together. Will it mostly be on Murfreesboro Electric?
You know, we've got several different things we're going to discuss. Now, Murfreesboro Electric is one of the topics, but, I mean, that's people ask me all the time, what's your main priority? And Bart, as a mayor, council member, you can't have just one priority. I mean, we have lots of things that we have to focus on. So we've got a lot of things that we're talking about and things that I'm proud of our staff to be able to move forward. We're at a better point with this city, I think, than we've ever been. You know, we're primed and we're poised to be able to deal with the growth, and that's what we're going to do.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, our guest this morning. Shane, thank you for joining us. And you weathered the storm.
Hey, you know, Bart, I like bringing up the conversation to be able to talk about what's best for the community, and that, you know, if this is a good way for residents to be able to interact with us, that's what we'll do.
Hey, have a super rest of the day.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Truman is next right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll see you tomorrow.